Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in Luke chapter 6. Several weeks ago, Cheryl and I decided to take Max for a walk. But we also had an errand that we wanted to run, and so we figured we'd combine the two of them. But in order to do that, we had to go to a place that we had never gone before, different trails. But we got there, and so we're looking at the map, and we very quickly figured out there were three loops to this thing. There was a short one, a medium one, and a long one. As we thought about our day, we said, the short one just doesn't make any sense. It's like almost no purpose in going. It's hardly a walk at all. The long one, if we did that, we weren't going to have enough time for this errand that we wanted to run. So that was out. So, we're left with the medium loop. But great. So we set out and we go on the entrance trail and we come up to the place where there's a staging area just before you enter into the loops. And there's another map. It's the same exact map that we saw before, but we just looked at it to get our bearings. But things just aren't adding up. I'm looking at the physical surroundings where we are, and it's just where that little dot is. It is not right. I think they probably put the map in the wrong place, or they should have moved the little dot. But anyhow, so we're talking about it. We try to figure it out, and we go, okay, so we think that we know what we're doing, and we set out. But, the whole time that we're walking, we're just not sure. Are we going the right way? Do we make the right turn here? Until finally we get to what we think is the really critical junction. And we stop and we're talking about it and say, which way do we want to go? Because this could be disastrous for our day. We take the wrong path, it's going to ruin our day. Either we're not going to get the walk that we thought we were going to get, or we're going to not have time for our errand. And so we carefully make the decision. There are two ways, a good way and a bad way. A way, so to speak, of life or death for our plans that day. As we look at our gospel reading for today, we see that Jesus does a similar kind of thing. He places before us two ways, the way of life and the way of death. Which way is it that we will go? Now, this comes to us in what we call the Sermon on the Plain, because Luke says there was a level place where they gathered together. Sometimes it's translated as a plain. But you've heard of the Sermon on the Mount that Matthew has. I believe they're the same sermon. I think it's just that they describe the place different. Matthew says it's on the Mount. And, for Luke, it was too, only it was a level place on this Mount. They just describe the place differently. But you look at the material is the same. Yeah, Luke is a lot shorter, far more condensed, but it's talking about the very same things. But the key thing for us to understand is that whether you're reading in Matthew or whether you're reading in Luke, the material that is given is the core teaching of Jesus for his disciples. This is what it means to follow me. This is what it means to be my disciple. So it's the core teachings of Jesus. And Luke, the way that he tells it, it begins it with this idea of the two paths, the two ways, the way of life, way of death. And so we're going to look at those two ways this morning. Let's start with way one, which can be summarized by the words in Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. Notice what the proverb says. This is a way that seems right to man, to human thinking, worldly thinking. There's a way that looks really good, that's tempting, that seems right, but it's really not, because it leads to death. This is one of the roads that Jesus is talking about today. And according to Jesus, who is on that road? Well, it's those who are rich. It's those who are satisfied, they're full. Those who are laughing. Those who are well spoken of. They say, that's the road that I want to be on. I mean, come on, who doesn't want that in life? Those are all the things that we hope for. We want to be rich. We want to be satisfied. We want to be joyful, laughing. We want to be spoken of well in this world. That's what we want. And yet, let's be careful. Remember what Proverbs said. There's a way that seems right to man. And Jesus is saying that's exactly what this road to death is about. It can look good, but there's a catch. That's the problem. There's a catch. Why? Because those things are all temporal and temporary. They only last for a period of time. They're limited because they are the things of this world. And so you're going to lose them. When? Well, certainly at death, but then perhaps earlier as well. And why is that? Well, because they are the things of this world. And because, as Jesus talks about it, they are things that are gained or are put in place of our relationship with God. That they are gained without concern for a relationship with God. As a matter of fact, Jesus, just a couple of chapters later, tells a parable about this to help us to understand. In Luke chapter 12, he says, and he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And you see that last sentence really puts everything into context, right? This man was doing things. He had no regard for God or the things of God. He was simply after the things of this world. And he stored up those things, but they were only lasted for a little while. You see, and that's what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about this road that leads to death, or the road of woe. Again, let me take you to our text for today. Jesus said, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. You hear? All right, this is what you want. You got it, but nothing more. That's it. That's your reward. That's your consolation. Nothing more. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now. You're satisfied. You have everything you think that you want. But you're going to be hungry. You're full now, but you're going to be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. Elsewhere, Jesus describes this as the broad way, the easy way. Why is that? Well, because it avoids suffering in order to gain comfort. You see, on that road, there is really no need for suffering. Suffering has no purpose. Simply get rid of it. Whatever it takes, doesn't matter. Dispel that from your life at any cost. No thought for God, only thought for comfort. It avoids discipline for ease. Again, no place for difference. Discipline, why sacrifice for yourself? Why would you do that? Why would you give up something now so that you, it's 'cause to make your life harder. Why wouldn't you go for the ease? It's only interested in the moment, only interested in what's expedient, what's advantageous for the moment. No thought for the future or the long term. No thought about God and his kingdom. this is the first road that Jesus talks about. And again, it was summarized for us in our Old Testament reading. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. It's a way that seems good to man, but its way ends in death. But take heart, there's a second way. There's another way, the way of Christ. And perhaps it can be summarized in the words of Jesus in Matthew 7, where he says, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to eternal life." So yeah, it's a little bit harder this way, but it's the way of life. It's the way of Christ. It means sacrificing a few things now in order to gain the greater. Who is it that walks on this road? Well, Jesus talks about it. Those who are poor. Those who are hungry. They're not satisfied now. Those who weep now. Those who are hated and reviled at times in life. That doesn't sound so good, does it? I'm not sure that I would really just quickly pick that. That's not what I really am looking for in life. And yet, somehow, this is the way of life, Jesus says. And so one question as we're thinking through this is to ask, well, what about these things? Are they physical? Are they spiritual? You know, the poor and the hungry and the weeping and the reviled. You look in Matthew and he makes it plain for us. They're spiritual. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Thank you, Matthew. That makes it very clear. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Luke doesn't do that. Luke leaves it a little bit ambiguous. And I think purposefully so. Because it includes both. Yes, we have Matthew running in the background, and that helps us to understand what Jesus is talking about, that the spiritual take the lead in this, but it does not exclude the physical either. Jesus is concerned. We were rightly concerned about those who are poor and hungry and weeping. We understand those things. We're concerned about those things. But who exactly then are these poor and hungry and weeping and reviled people? Well, as Jesus first spoke these words and people were listening, standing around, they saw that as themselves. And it's, maybe it was a little easier in those days because, you know, those folks, most of them lived hand to mouth, except if you were the few rich or the nobility, but most people lived pretty much hand to mouth. And they could be hungry. They saw themselves as poor. They lived in a broken world. They knew about death. Death came fairly easily. Sickness was a big part of life. You know, society wasn't always just. And they understood Jesus' words and applying them to himself. As we hear those words, we hear them a little bit differently. We live in a different way. We have far more. But maybe we hear them then in terms of the spiritual things, and it's probably right, not to exclude the other. But yeah, blessed are the poor. Poor in spirit. We recognize that we can't, we don't have the resources to provide the things of God to ourselves, the kingdom of God. How do we get these things? We come with empty hands before God. Yes, we are the poor. Lord, give to us. We are those who are not full. We're not satisfied. We realize there is so much that we need. And again, that we cannot provide for ourselves the things of God. And so we're longing, thirsting, we're hungry for these things. Lord, give to us these things, because only you can give them to us. We weep, because we know the brokenness of this world. We know how our lives are broken, and there's injustice in this world. We see all that stuff going on. We weep over those things. And yeah, sometimes we're hated and we're reviled because of who we are, that our faith in Christ, our walk in Christ. So we understand Jesus' words to us as well. But it's kind of interesting then to reflect on this in terms of Jesus, because these words speak of him too, and perhaps most specifically of him. You put Jesus in there, and he is the blessed one, right? Blessed are the poor. Jesus was poor. He didn't have many earthly possessions. No house, no home, no place to stay, really. He traveled around very little of his own worldly possessions. And yet he was also poor in the sense that, as far as his human nature was concerned, that he was dependent totally upon the Father. You think about his prayer life and the way that he comes to the Father and he's looking for strength. It depends upon him. So as far as his human nature was concerned, yeah, Jesus saw himself as the poor and needing from the Father as well. He was hungry. He was not satisfied. What is it that drove him to do what he did and live the way that he did and go all the way to the cross and suffer on the cross? You know, it was this dissatisfaction. You know, and he has this strong desire for our salvation. And that's why he's here. Blessed are you who are not satisfied. In weeping, Jesus wept over Jerusalem, over Lazarus and his family. And he saw the crowds coming to him, and in compassion, he was moved physically by that. Jesus weeping. And of course, he was hated and reviled like none other. Especially you reflect on his passion and the things that happened to him, the brutality of that. So vicariously, he suffered all of these things that we suffer. You know, that he experienced them and he carried them for us. And he took upon our way of life, our suffering, our poverty, our hunger, our weeping, our being hated. He took that on. Blessed is he, he's the blessed one. And he died so that we might be the blessed. He took our suffering so that we might have his blessedness. So blessed are you. Blessed are you who walk with Christ. The blessings are both now and not yet. We experience them now. We experience the kingdom of now, God now. But we also understand that the fullness of that comes to us in heaven when the Lord takes us to be with him. And yet, it's not just future. It is now, too. And we receive even a foretaste of that heavenly banquet with our Father here at this table. So blessed are you today as you come forward and receive. Blessed are you who are poor, who come with empty hands before the Lord. For yours is the kingdom of God. For you know that the kingdom of God is Christ, and into your hands and into your mouth is going to be placed Christ. Blessed are you who are poor, come with those empty hands. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when you are not satisfied, when you are needy, and you come here to receive, because you will be satisfied. The Lord will serve you and give you himself and his kingdom. Blessed are you who weep at the brokenness of this world and the brokenness of your life, that as you come here, you will be comforted, You will begin to receive that healing of God, the forgiveness of your sins, the healing of your life. Blessed are you. Yeah, and blessed are you when you are hated because you love Christ. Because yours, great is your reward in heaven. Blessed are you when you walk with Christ. And again, Jeremiah talks about this in our Old Testament reading, making a little more clear too. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. There's the key, right? He's like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of the drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. As we walked that day, Cheryl and I, we made the right decision. We followed the right path. And it was a good day. It was a nice walk. It was perfect. We got to do our errand, everything, because we were on the right trail, the right path. And so it is when you are in Christ. You know, you're blessed not because you do these things, but you're blessed because you're in Christ, and these things then are a part of your life. And the key is always Christ. You're blessed because you are in Him and you walk with Him. Let us ever walk with Jesus. In His name, amen.